All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Cam Jansen, and you're watching Nasty Knuckles.
Listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your hosts, Derek Nasty Suttermeyer and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer, Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. Time to face off.
All right, welcome back. What's happening, Nasty?
What's up, Rigoretto, with that ZZ Top beard?
You like that?
Debo, bring out the shears. We're trimming her down.
That's just freshly trimmed your nest for today's recording.
Like, is it?
Yeah.
I don't believe it at all.
Dude, this thing
you
is
still look
quaffed.
Good anyway,
thanks,
Riggs.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate
you're
it.
Still looking good. Hey, what's you going too. On, brother?
This is it. Happy to be here on this beautiful spring day.
It is nice out. It yeah. is nice.
Looking good
we,
yourself.
We
good, nice
both.
Bucky.
Thanks. Yeah. New buckets in the house. Baller will get them up. People can have a look at them. Missed men's league last weekend. I was
did.
In beautiful Johnstown, Pennsylvania.
How'd that go?
0-2-1.
Yeah.
Not the way you wanted it to go.
When
you
tough needed roadies,
wins,
yeah.
When you needed wins to make the playoffs, I was there. So I missed men's league. Boys pulled it out, though, yep. Without you, of course. You didn't want to be there to help again. But I found a way to get it done.
I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's your strong team in Johnstown?
Ran into Max Talbot, a friend of the show.
Oh, yeah,
Max
I saw
Talbot
that.
Max Talbot night. And the funniest thing is, and Max, you know this is true, they acted like he never played for the Flyers.
Oh, of course.
They had a nice video montage of him.
Yeah.
And it was funny, though. They showed where Carbom and him got in a fight.
Yeah.
They didn't show Carbom pumping him. They just showed the fight start.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then Max give her this one.
Oh.
So what really bugged me, Max, was that after that, he was in the arena there in Pittsburgh. No one in the building. He must have shot this for the night. And he's just standing there and he goes,
oh,
and then as he walks out, he does it again.
Oh,
and I'm like, is that to me, dude? Is that like
took that
you
personal.
Remember you were a Flyer next,
yeah?
Like, and we beat them in the playoffs, but wow. It was actually awesome seeing him. He looked great.
He looked great, and I saw the picture, and you actually look like 20 years younger than him somehow.
Well, I mean, you know.
Must be that
say anything, but yeah. No,
that protocol.
That's because he's not coloring his hair. Probably that's probably why.
A little salt and pepper.
But he looked good though. He's
he did,
in good
yeah,
shape.
Really good
and,
shape.
What a great. It was funny because he came into the locker room and all the rabble gal, all the boys on the team were like, they saw him and then they turned the music down because we were talking and he was just like, guys, you can
go about your business. Yeah. You
know, like, it was kind of funny because, but the guys were like, they thought it was cool to see
of
him.
Of course,
you know?
Yeah.
And, man, they draw well. Man, God, Johnstown.
Yeah.
They draw.
What are you saying? Like 4K?
I don't think it holds that many, but I think it holds just under 3,000.
Okay, all right. They pack it?
I mean, man. Every day, too. Like every night, Friday, nice. Saturday, Sunday. But anyway, it was really good to see him. And Jeff Jemerson sang the national anthem. So I felt like I was in Pittsburgh.
Oh, Jeff?
Again. Oh, yeah. It's the second time I've been there and he sang.
Come on, really?
Yeah, he sang the anthem.
What are the chances of that?
No. Yeah, it was a fun weekend. Also got to see Dana Heinze, former equipment manager with Pittsburgh for a long time. He is like the mayor in that town.
Oh, yeah.
I had a security guard come over, knock on the glass to tell me. Dana wants to see you, but he's getting ready to leave, so you got to come now.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, there's 8 minutes to go on the period.
He's leaving the game?
I left the bench. I did.
Come on.
Well, because the guy's like, he wants to see you, and I'm like, well, I probably won't see him if I don't go say hi.
Yeah.
So,
price to pay.
I got to see him for a couple minutes. It was great catching up.
That's good.
So anyway.
Good stuff.
On to the Flyboys. Since Danny took over, they're 5-2-1 and
Danny's rolling.
Danny's rolling and 5-0-1 in their last six. And most of the contributions are coming from the kids.
Yeah,
which is a great sign.
It's a great sign. Yeah, guys playing for their lives, playing for contracts next year, and
that's true.
And positions on the team, obviously.
Yeah.
So
Frosty had a big night last night. Beezer's been hot. Yeah. Tyson Forrester.
Yeah, I mean, he looks really good.
Big Carter Hart with the candidate for a save of the year.
What a hell of a save.
Oh, my God. Our buddy Chris Mayer, I don't want to say anything, but he was pretty excited about it. I messaged him. Yeah, we were kidding around about it. But I'm like,
I was
a little worried there for a minute. He got excited about it, but what a save. Yeah. It was a stupid save.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really crazy.
Yep.
Couple retirements this week as well, Riggs. Dave Scott.
Yeah.
Retired. Yeah. We had heard rumblings about that.
Yeah, I don't think that was a shock to anybody based on the way things were going. And I think it just paves the way for the new guy. They've mentioned this and announced this a while back, Dan Hilferty.
Yeah.
I think now it's just a little more official.
From what I've heard, he's a big sports guy.
Like, yeah.
Big Flyers fan from this area, which is cool. He's into sports, and you know, I think I'm not saying Dave Scott wasn't, but he didn't really have a sports background. This guy is a fan and seems to care from what I'm hearing from some pretty good sources inside. So he's a really good dude. So,
yeah.
Congratulations to him.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hopefully he can bring his passion into the mix.
And our good friend, Stephen Coates.
Yeah, right. Coatesy. What an amazing human.
Yeah.
And what a hell of a career, man. I mean, that's a lot of games. That's a lot of talking, man. Jeez.
I have a feeling he's going to be around.
Oh, he'll be
around.
He's
going to be doing something because he can't sit still.
He can't sit still, and he can't stay away. He needs to be active. I think that would probably be the worst thing for him mentally if he was just completely abandoning the game and just going to be sitting in wherever he's at down the shore.
I was going to say, he may move down to Florida with Clark and play golf every day.
Good.
I don't
good
think,
point.
That, would,
yeah, yeah,
I don't think
yeah.
that would bother him too much.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But congrats to Coatesy.
Yeah, Coatesy.
Great guy.
Appreciate you.
Great friend of ours. Just so many great Coatesy stories.
Oh,
my
man.
Buddy, excuse me, my buddy Chill, who you know, we might have talked about it when he's on the show, but when we were 16, 17 years old, Coatesy was giving us a ride from Clarkie's house back over to this gentleman. His name was Ed Parvin. He was a friend of all the players. He was a realtor in the area. And Coatesy had a stash, too.
Oh, yeah. Lethal.
And he had a cigar.
Yeah.
And we're going across a little bridge, and he never was looking straight ahead. He was looking back at us. And Kent found this picture of a guy with his arm like looking back, but he put Coatesy's face, and I said, "There's no mustache." And 2 minutes later, he sent me one. I gotta send it to Baller Devo and have him show it. It's pretty funny.
That's
if
classic.
You know the story. But anyway, congrats to Coatesy.
Yeah, man, that's a hell of a run.
In hockey, other things. Johnny Carlson in Washington finally got back after that.
It's been a
horrific
long time.
Injury, brutal injury, I should say. You know, wow. But I'm glad he's back.
Yeah.
He's a good dude. I've known him for
scary.
Wow, that was scary.
Is that 3 months worth?
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, it's a long
three
time.
3 months, yeah. I mean, just wear that plastic to you, bro.
Yeah, right.
I know you don't like wearing it, but I don't
Certainly not in, men's league. Yeah.
That's where you're probably going to get it more
probably.
Than
I probably should be wearing a cage, really. Yeah, exactly. I mean, think about the sticks Knock and wood, things are coming geez. Coming around.
Other things in the league, in the East Florida, kind of falling apart there.
Yeah.
They're hanging on, trying to catch Pitt, who's not really doing anything great either.
Yeah, that's going to be a grind right to the end.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I don't think their consistency is obviously there, and it's probably a crapshoot the rest of the way. It's, what, 8 games each?
Yeah.
Or 8 or 9?
Yeah, I think they're 3 points out. And then on the other side, Calgary's making a little run, trying to catch Winnipeg, who's having a tough time of late. Your boys, the old Jets.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
2 points.
This is crunch time. You know, this is like the exciting time of the year where it's, you know, there's, you know, two or three teams on each side fighting for these spots, and every game it's like, you know, the hype and then the disappointment or the vice versa, and it, you know, it's right to the end.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
Sure.
I mean,
for sure. But, be interesting. It's that's the fun part now when you start to get warm out, you kind of feel the playoffs coming, and some of these games mean a lot to some of these teams. So
yeah. Interesting stat with Flames, if we sort of cut you off there, but looking at the stats before, Winnipeg Jets, 41 regular season wins, and Calgary Flames, 34, 15 overtime losses. That's a lot, dude.
That's a lot. That's a lot of overtime losses. Wow. Even if you get half those, right?
Right.
If you win five of them, you have five more
points. Incredible.
You
know, it's like, incredible number.
But, you know, if my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle, so... Right. It's just kind of the way it works.
But, yeah, it's tough to win in this league, or any league, really. I mean, but it's a grind. And, you know, getting to the end of regulation is one thing, but then squeezing out that extra point is a whole nother. And
yeah.
I'm not sure how many of those were shootout losses, but nonetheless, I mean, losing 3-on-3, I could live with.
Yeah,
you know, as a player,
the
shootouts are tough,
because
you're not losing on a hockey play. You know, 3-on-3 is still... hockey sense involved, you know, there's still, you know, the element of defense and positioning, right? But yeah, the shootout losses are tough.
They are tough.
What else we got, Nast?
Well, I was gonna say, we mentioned the Flyers playing really well the last week and a half. Get some further away from Connor Bedard.
Yep.
Which people aren't happy about. I saw someone on one of our posts, someone said, gotta lose tonight, boys.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, big loss tonight.
When do you hear that?
Oh, never.
Gotta lose tonight, boys. Maybe we'll just keep winning and still get lucky and get him.
Yeah, sure. Well, that's what you're hoping for, right? I mean, because it's, you know, you're playing for pride every night, right? You got a new GM. Not that it matters. You should be playing like that every night anyways.
Exactly.
You're playing for contracts. You're playing for, you know, lineup positions next year, all that stuff. Like, no hockey player goes to the rink and says, we're blowing this game tonight, you know, because a lot of these guys won't be here anyways, you know, to experience if you ever landed up coming to the Flyers. But it's interesting how it goes. Like, you know, they're playing pretty damn good hockey,
for whatever reason,
they seem to be pulling it together and getting contributions, as you mentioned, for some of these young guys stepping up, and just a system, the team chemistry seems to be there.
Yeah.
But hopefully you can end on a good note like that and somehow still have a chance. And maybe, you know, for the love of God.
Yeah.
It's like finding a way to get this guy.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Speaking of that, it's you're talking about the team chemistry and how good they are looking right now. Torts came out and said he wasn't going to have a captain next year.
I know. That was interesting.
Just confusing to me. So, I love Torts. I just don't understand.
It seems like an untimely thing to say. I mean, why even address that? Even if you're asked about that.
Was he asked?
I would think you wouldn't just offer that, would you?
I didn't even see.
But I would assume that he was asked and he made a comment on it. But I just think that, again, you still have, 8-9 games left here.
Yeah.
I'm not sure you need to be talking about next season's captaincy, especially with Coots coming back and, you know what I mean?
Right.
And Cam probably. Yeah. You know, there's like three guys in the bucket of probably ever wearing the C. But I just thought it was a little premature to ever make that bold statement.
Right.
You know, but what the hell do I know? I mean,
I think you have, you know, of at least, I mean, there's, I'm not saying there's only two guys, but you definitely have two guys that are that could be the C.
For sure.
They'd have the C on their jersey.
For sure. And there's a couple comments made. We talked about this before. You know, like, what does that say about your team if you don't have anybody that could rock the C?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's... But which I don't agree with. I think there's, as you just pointed out, and we've talked about, there's several guys, I mean, probably two or three for sure, that could rock the C.
Right.
But again, I'm not sure the timeliness of it was necessary. Probably could, you could have probably avoided making a statement on that at all, like he does on other things. Like, I'm not going to address that now. We're going to wrap up the season. We're going to get into the offseason, evaluate, and go from there, you know. But we'll see.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah. He might change his tune.
He might.
Who knows?
Danny might.
Danny might,
you never know.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So, but interesting. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we will see. Ready to rock your nest?
I'm ready to rock.
Episode 111?
111 with your first tilt partner in NHL.
Yeah.
You had fought him before, but.
A few times, yeah. Yeah, he's a maniac. Cam Jansen,
yes.
Episode 111, presented to you by Curaleaf. Welcome to Curaleaf, a medical marijuana dispensary. Whether you're a longtime patient, or you're just getting acquainted with this incredible plant, Curaleaf of Pennsylvania is honored to guide you along your medical marijuana journey. Have questions? Google Curaleaf PA or stop by one of their 18 locations across the Commonwealth or visit Curaleaf.com/locations. Nast, wake it up.
Let's go.
Welcome back. I'm Riley Cote.
And I'm Derek Suttlemeyer. This week, we are so pleased to have one of my favorite tough guys that played in the league. I used to love watching him, just his energy. And he's brought that energy to his post-hockey career. Co-host of the Cam and Strict podcast, Mr. Cam Jansen. What's up, brother?
What's up, guys? What's going on?
This is it, man. Good to see you. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while.
Everyone was wondering, even though you're in St. Louis, why we couldn't have you in. You guys, Riley's first fight in NHL was against you. So we wanted to keep them.
Yeah, right.
We were laughing because I was like, I remember that fight. You were wearing 33. You had the mission helmet.
Oh, yeah.
In Continental Airlines, I believe.
Yeah.
And I remember Johnny Stevens was standing because he was like kind of grabbing onto my arm and everything. I'm like, leave me alone. I'm shadow boxing for Riles, but in all seriousness, you were seriously the first year you came in was the lockout year into pro hockey, I should say. What a league that year! We've talked about that with a few guys. I mean, the team, like the players that were on all the teams, was the best league probably in hockey.
I would say
with NHL being out. But I remember seeing you, Cam, and I'm like, this guy looks fucking nuts, man. He is wound up in warmups, and man, I just love the way you played your whole career. You're one of my favorite guys to watch, and saw a lot of you, obviously, in Jersey and even in St. Louis when we played you guys. But what's going on?
Tell us what, man.
Yeah, man. What's going on with you?
Well, I'm doing the same thing you guys are doing now. Isn't it nice what we do now? To talk and reminisce with all the older guys that you either played with or you didn't know or reconnect with guys. We have a pretty good gig going, but it's funny you bring up that 04 lockout year. Yeah, dude, I think I just turned 20 years old. That was a psycho year. There's heavyweights in every team. I mean, everybody was loaded with just monsters. I didn't know anybody, and it kind of forced you to be tough when you started in 04 during that lockout year. If you're a kid coming up, man, like you're gonna have your hands full with some grown men right out of juniors, you know? It's a big difference.
Right. Oh,
you got a 32-year-old guy that's been through the grind, who's got four kids, he needs to, you know, fight for his family. He's been doing it for decades, and you're like, you have to deal with that now. It's a big difference. You know what I'm talking about, Riley.
Yeah, no, it's a different animal. And you know, I wasn't an established fighter in juniors. I mean, I think I had 20 fights in 4 years. I know you were. You know, you had adopted that role. And I remember Josh Grattan was on the team and he, you know, kind of gave us a little bit of, you know, a heads up on you and, you know, what you're all about. And obviously looking at your PIMS and all that stuff, you know, knew you were a gamer, but it's a different animal when you're fighting men, right? I mean, it's certainly a different approach versus, I mean, you were obviously probably the champ, you know, in the O there fighting guys that were a lot less strong than you, but it's a different approach, you know, the strength and, and just like the technique and the timing.
Strength.
Yep.
People talk about that. No, that is a real thing. I was my strongest, even when I wasn't playing, like I felt like my strongest. And my dad always told me, he goes, I was my strongest when I was in my 30s, like my 35, you know, and now people could have strength in their 40s because of just nutrition and stuff. He was a construction guy spraying tar, but his 30s, he was the strongest. You finally put everything together. You know how to use your strength. Yeah, that's a wake-up call. Hey, I will say this real quick, Riley. That year, maybe it was the next year after that, when we first – it was at the Spectrum. I remember going in, and I was running through a couple guys off the bat or to have really good fights with really tough guys, and I was getting a little cocky, and we were at the Spectrum, and my buddies came up from – they're in D.C. They took the train up, and a couple of my buddies came up, and I fought you for the first time, and you're that lefty – and you were strong, and you embarrassed me, dude. You got me spinning, and you're throwing uppercuts, and I couldn't get going on you. And that was like one of my first wake-up calls, fighting you the first time at the Spectrum, not in the NHL. It was, yeah, and I didn't really know you. And you ragdolled me, and it was very embarrassing, and I didn't like it.
Well, who does? Yeah, well.
You were a little pissed off, too. Right? Yeah. You looked pissed afterwards. You were rattled. You were mad.
Yeah. Yes. My buddies are in town, too. And I'm like, yeah, good. I needed that, though. In all honesty, like sometimes when you're doing good, you just need to get smacked around a little bit. Now you're like, oh, okay. Now I can't be that. Sometimes you have to be humbled to definitely keep your rhythm going, right?
It's so true. Yeah, yeah. Getting humble now and then is a good thing because you're only as good as your last fight, and you can kind of lose reality a little bit when you're winning and everything's great and you're on top of the world. And then all of a sudden it's like, shit hits the fan. But, if you call that a bad loss, you could learn a lesson and not get your ass totally beat and break your face or something like that. You know, it's a simple lesson. And I've lost my fair share too, right? So it's just part of the game and part of the job, man. And you show up and fucking every night's a little bit different, right? I mean,
So it's like, well, just go fight guys. Well, it doesn't work that way. I gotta, not only do you have to fight him, we gotta put a show on. So if you just like, I fight and I just hold on and you beat me and I lose every fight, guys are like, okay, whatever. Now, you're going to get sent down. You still got to perform. So it's like an entertainment aspect too. So, yeah, you could just show up, but we had to do things and get the crowd into it and get your team into it. If you look at the fights now, and I get it. And that's fine. The skill's up there. I get all that. I've accepted that for years now. But, like, the fights are there, and they'll throw each other down. And once in a while, they'll go toe-to-toe, and I get that. But the bench is just like, whatever. All right, let's move on. But back when we did it, we had to do enough to where you could look at that bench and be like, yeah, because otherwise, why would you have us on there if you're not pumping your team up?
Yeah, I know, right? It's a really good point. It's different animal back then, and that entertainment piece was a real thing, and I think you were probably one of the best at it, you know, to actually prolong the fight. I mean, you had an amazing endurance. You know, you'd wait out and take, a flurry at the start, and then you'd weather the storm, and then you come back strong. But like, you were probably way more about the entertainment than I was. You know, I was just going self preservation. just unleashing.
But
I've tried for sure. But different animal for sure. And I thought you were one of the best at that, having that balance of like being a legit fighter and bringing the energy and entertaining, because you drew the fight out a lot longer than most guys did.
Yeah, guys wanted Delaney's to come in, and you're like, nope
stay away.
I used to love that, man. Yeah. When I watched,
I had to do that. I had to have a style because I'm still 5'11 and 3'4s. You know, like I gotta go. If I'm gonna go, I can't go toe to toe with you, because you're gonna get 4 inches of power on me every single time. I'm gonna get corked. So I have to have a game plan. What am I gonna do? I can throw left now. I learned how to throw a bull. I learned how to box at a young age and do hockey fight training. I figured that out at a young age, going to different gyms and stuff. So I'm like, I have to have a damn game plan. When I went with you, not the first time, but the first time in NHL, I went right with you against your. And I went left with you, and we kind of went, and then I found my way, and we went toe to toe. Like, I had a game plan against you, and so like I had to have that. Or these big guys, they're gonna catch you, and you're gonna get ragdolled, and you're gonna get caught with one. So it was a lot to it, man. It really was. It stresses you out, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's funny you said that, Cam, because I was gonna ask you, like, you were, like I said before, I just loved the energy you brought, and Riles was the same. I saw Riley every day for a long time, but like, you know, I watched a lot of, I'm a hockey nerd and I watched a lot, and seeing you play so many times, was it, did you have a hard time? We've asked a few guys this, like having a nap in the afternoon, knowing what you had to do. Like you said, it was stressful. Did it stress you out that way? Or were you able to relax day of game or night before the game?
Well, I mean, I can go deep with that question. but like, if I'm normal and I'm, yeah, like that's, you're always thinking about it. I'm thinking about it, but I could play it cool. Like I'm not going to go in the locker room like, oh, good. No, I'm like, hey guys, what's up? Blah, blah, blah. Although it's still in the, like, it's always ticking in your back. You got the guy saying, hey, just remember you got to deal with some hardcore stuff. You know, like you just, oh, it's always in the back of your head, even when you're sleeping. Sometimes you have help because you probably went out the night before or whatever the case is, so it's easy to nap. Whether you got demons talking to you or not, you can still get to bed because who knows what you did the night before. But in reality, though, man, like that worries me until right when I get on the ice. Then I'm like, I don't give a fuck. Let's go. And it just stops. Yeah. It's like, I don't give a shit. But leading all the way up to that, you can play as cool as you want and act happy in front of the guys. But there's always somebody barking at you. Your mind's barking at you the whole time. And rightfully so. Because once that's gone, that's when you get hurt. You always got to remember, like, you got to take care of business. So, dude, you look back on it now, man. Like, it wore me out. I didn't think of it at the time. But then you retire and you're like, oh, you're like, damn. Like, that was really stressful. But we played it cool. It's all good.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, no, I can totally relate. And I started to notice probably my last year, maybe the year before, like really how much it was stressing me out. And, you know, there's a point early in my career, I actually like really enjoyed it, right? It was a new challenge, you know, it's like, okay, well, this is my path. And, you know, it was like something larger than life you're kind of grabbing onto. Did you ever get to a point where you didn't love it anymore and you recognized that, or did you love it right till you retired?
I was always a guy that I was wanting to fight guys when I'm like 14, you know. I wanted to pick on like an old 40-year-old man. And, I mean, like I got. It's funny. I just told a story in Nashville with all the. We had a big. By the way, We just had like a huge like hockey fantasy camp in Nashville. I'd like to meet up with some of you guys and do that in Philly and stuff. Anyway, we'll talk about that later.
Let's do it. Yeah.
But yeah, like just story time out the ass, man. And I'm telling a story, and I'm telling guys like. I when I was 14, like I was wanting to like fight. And like one time at the Lake of the Ozarks, I remember like there's this lake by our, we had this little cabin at a lake and there's this bar down the road and all these grown men are going to this bar to go do their thing. And I'm chirping them with my buddies at 14 and I'm chirping this guy and this 40-year-old guy comes up and goes, "What'd you say, little punk?" And he picked me up and threw me down, and I ripped my shoulder out right before I was going to go into junior camp. Just talking shit. I was always aggressive like that, which is so stupid. My dad was so mad at me, but I was always aggressive. I always wanted to do that, not in a weird, like, bully, weird way, but more like it got my adrenaline going. And when you have a good fight, there's something to it, like, walk around knowing that I'm going to stick up for my buddies. Like, I like that. Like, you feel like a superhero, kind of, in your own little bubble. Right. But that was a little wake-up call. Don't ever pick fights when you're young, a 40-year-old grown man, you know, walking into a bar. But, yeah, so I liked it. But at the end of my career, with all the weird shit that happened to me throughout it, with just like, oh, God, painkillers and being on Suboxone, and that's just a whole different world that we can get into if you want. But at the end, man, I'm like, I'm kind of done with it. And I always thought that I was going to get rocked by somebody and catch one. Like, I was due to get knocked out, I felt like, right? Like I never really got caught too bad, and I was due to get one, and that was always in the back of my head too, building up. Sorry, that was long-winded.
Right. That's good insight. Well, talk about that. You alluded to the Suboxone and all that stuff. I mean, I know like substance abuse is a thing in society. You know, sports, the hockey world is a microcosm of the macro. I mean, there's a lot of people that would suggest that the role itself, is what's leading to a lot of the stuff, but it obviously plagues skilled guys too. I mean, talk about that a little bit and how you were able to overcome it.
Well, dude, it's still like, okay, it all happened. I have an addictive personality with all kinds of stuff. you know, like I was partying at a young age, but I was always disciplined to play hockey. Like I knew I was good. I worked out. I worked out hard 3-4 times, a day whenever you have to lead up to stuff. Like the work ethic was never a problem with me. But the substance stuff, man, like I've always partied and I've tried all kinds of different things and I've always been able to like get in and out of things, right? Like if you're high school, like shit was all over the place in high school. Like, oh, what do you got there? Like, let me try this. Let me do that. I mean, all kinds of stuff. I was able to get in and out of all that stuff, still keep focused, keep playing hockey, do my thing, use my athletic ability. But once I got injured, and I'm sitting by myself in Jersey, right? Because I never really got hurt before that. In juniors, like, I never really got hurt. And I dabbled with painkillers here and there because it made me feel good, which is such a horrible thing. A lot of people, when they deal with painkillers, that makes them feel like shit, just like my dad and my wife or a couple of my buddies, it makes them feel like shit. Well, some people, you eat those things, now you're like, oh, God, man, it's heroin. You're
like, yeah, right. Exactly.
Let's go. It hits you in a different way. That's how it is with me. So when I was young, I remember ripping my shoulder out with big Georgie Paros, you know, in Anaheim. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, that was God awful. If you look up that video, it just pops out. It was horrific. And I got it. I'm home alone I have my own house there. I'm a young kid. And I'm there with 190 of these damn things. And I'm just taking them. And you're like, okay. And it's nobody's fault but mine, because they're like, hey, the doctor said, take two. If you feel anything, take 2-4 hours later. Don't take any between. Well, after a while, you're chilling. I'm having my buddies over that you meet. I got nothing to do. I can't even leave the house. You know what I mean? You're isolated from everybody. And again, it's not the devil's fault. They told me exactly what to do. I need to get rest. I went home. There's things that you could do, right? But I had those damn painkillers, and I just kept eating them. And you're bored. And I'm like, oh, let me take a couple more. And then you build that ladder up. And all of a sudden, you're like, oh, I don't need them anymore. And you're like, oh, I'm withdrawing. Why do I feel like I have the flu times 10? And now I need to go off the market to get them and this, that, and the other. And it piles up. So I dealt with that for a long, long time. Now, I didn't take them because I had pain all the time. No, I didn't take them because I was scared to fight guys. No, I took them because I wanted to party. Like, it felt me feel good. Like, I was partying, and it just made you feel good. And then once you get to a certain point, it's hard to get off of them, man. And you have to really put on a clinic in the locker room so no one knows you're so depressed. It's horrific. It's a horrific experience. But you got to suck it up and deal with it because you did it yourself. Like, I did all that myself. Like, that was all self-induced. And I had to find my way to get out of this damn jam. And, you know, I mean, I can go on and on and on. But I finally did, and it took a lot of time with Suboxone. I brought that up. Suboxone is a masking agent where it'll block your receptors, whatever it is, to want to crave that opioid craving heroin feeling. So it just makes you block. So if Riley and I got to still take care of business on the ice, and you're on the Suboxone, which I did later on in my career when I'm in the minors, which is 10 times worse because you're not making that money. Now you're figuring out, what the hell am I going to do afterwards? I'm down and out and I'm blah because of this medicine. Like, every day I want to, like, if I had to go somebody, like, let's go. Like, I'm ready to go. This makes you blah. Now, I'm not craving. I'm not an addict anymore. It blocks out my drinking and all that stuff. Now, trust me, I had to learn the hard way on that part. But it makes you blah. And I still had to go fight. So my point is, that was a miserable experience, and I had to just suck it up and deal with it. So, look, I could get so deep. We don't got enough time, but if you need, I mean, anybody has any questions about it, man, I can. I talk to people all the time about it. But I got out of it, and I'm great now. I got other issues. Don't get me wrong. There's always something.
We all do.
Yeah.
I'm good now. No, but I don't crave painkillers anymore. I don't even think about them.
Yeah. Well, that's a big one, man. And I appreciate your honesty because we know a lot of guys that have battled those demons and still do, honestly, in between the pills and the alcohol. It's a tough combo, you know, and I think at the end of the day, it's like we all got, some sort of underlining pain. I mean, you got on him because of, you know, some inflammation around the injury itself, but I mean, it's starting to mask some other things too, right? And then you start feeling good, and it's a kind of a steep hill.
You don't have to do it. No. Listen, they work. When I got done with them, just so all you guys know, I still had surgery I had to get done, and I never took another painkiller again. I had, like, they had to put stuff like through my groin and all this stuff, and I didn't need pain. There's other things that are not addictive. You could take Tylenol 800, and I know it's not as much, and you don't want to get addicted to that because of other things, but there's ways to get around it without getting back on that opioid hellhole. And, you know, I'm telling you, I did it firsthand, just so you guys all know, so you kind of feel better about it, because there's going to be a lot of guys that listen to your show, and they're gonna be like, oh, yeah, I know what he's talking about, for sure.
Yeah, 100%. And just to build off that before we move on is, like, I mean, I dealt with similar stuff, and my last two surgeries, to your point on there's better alternatives out there.
Yeah.
This is when I kind of had this aha moment around cannabis being, like, you know, say the ultimate pain management tool. My last two surgeries, I just used cannabis because I was I told myself I'm not going down this hole again. You know, I had a finger surgery and a nose surgery, and that was it. I never touched a pill since, I just saw the downward spiral that was happening. You know, again, just using these things irresponsibly out of the context of pain management, and then, you know, mixing with alcohol and putting the party. It's just it's dark, right? And you know, I don't wish it on anybody. So if we can bring any awareness around this, as you are and we are here. You know, we can hopefully save a life or two, because it's dark and you don't wish it on your worst enemy.
It's the worst of the worst, man.
Yeah,
it truly is. But there's ways out of it. So just so you guys know, so even some of you right now that are listening are probably like, oh my God, how can that be? I'm in such a jam, dude. I was in such a jam and I had to hide it, just like you guys all know. And there's ways to get out. And I didn't have money at the time. Like, you think, well, Cam, you had money. Now, at that time, I spent so much money on that shit. I could have guys drop it off at 3 o'clock in the morning on Christmas Eve at my house in St. Louis. Are you kidding? I had dealers everywhere, like on the ball. I mean, so it was brutal.
Yeah.
But you get through it. It's all good. Yeah. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Props to you.
That's great. You got through that, because, like, I was just going to say, 26 years in pro hockey, like, I saw. It sucks to see, like, if I would have had you, it would just sucks to see that. Maybe no one knew that. But there have been players that I knew, and you just feel terrible, and it's a tough thing to watch, and it's something that people don't take into consideration sometimes with you athletes, that you're human beings, mm-hmm. and it's not.
It's better always, now.
Yeah,
it's better now.
So anyway.
They're not handing it out loosely, like, here you go. Who wants this? Who wants that? Like, yeah. No one's doing that anymore. Like, you can't. Painkillers are so hard to get anyway. Like. Even if you wanted a doctor shop, like the doctors are on the ball. They don't want to get into a jam. So a lot of things have changed. There's more eyeballs on it. But still, like, there's a lot of people that don't feel like they don't have any hope. You'll get out of it. Even if you're going cold turkey and you think you're going to die, and oh God, you will be better. It will get better. And you're going to feel like a new person. And you just got to get through the tough part.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Appreciate you telling us about that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We go on for days on that, you know, because it's an important topic. But, you know, shifting gears, you know, it's getting back to, you know, say the current day NHL. Obviously, things have evolved quite a bit since you retired and I retired. You know, obviously, with fighting being the most prominent, the obvious thing, is skill levels through the roof, as you mentioned. You know, talk about the state of the NHL and you know, and how you see this evolving. You know, the Q removes fighting from, you know, that junior league, how this thing trickles into the NHL, and how you see this thing morphing moving forward.
You know what? I've been asked this quite a bit. If they would have done that with what they're doing in the Quebec League to us, you know, in 2003, 2004, 2005, when guys are roaming and doing their thing, and everybody in the game was a part of, like, they knew somebody was going to do something. There's going to be two heavies going at something, was always going to happen. If they would have been like, and they just said, there's no fighting now, it would have been an uproar. All hell would have broke loose. Fans would be going crazy. But now you're like, mm-hmm. okay. Like, is there really that many good tilts? Is there anything? So it's like, it doesn't really bother me anymore. If you tell me you're taking away hits, I'd be like, whoa.
Yeah.
Now that is a big deal. Fights, like, who cares? I'm serious. Like, who cares now? Like, even the fights now, like, they're not even, they're just like, I got this. I'm gonna throw you down. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And most of the time, it's Jacob Trouba literally murdering a guy with a hit. And somebody's like, watch me, guys. I'm gonna take care of this. And Trouba just like, he gets a 2-5-10. So not only did Jacob Trouba knock out your best player, another dipshit on the team comes over and tries to fight him, does nothing, and gets a 2-5, and then Jacob Trouba scores on a power play. Like, that's just dumb. It's like, so like, if fighting's out of the game, it really, I think, wouldn't really matter to a lot of people anymore. Now, you go back 15 years and you cut it in half, people would go nuts. But now it's just like, there's skill, there's still hits. I like the game.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you.
What do you think?
I mean, I agree with you. I still feel like a little bit of accountability is necessary to keep, you know, some bit of honesty. You know, yes, okay. There's no, you know, heavies floating around. And I do appreciate this, a highly skilled game. And I think, to your point too, like, I think we've seen this evolve over time, that it's like, it's not like a surprise, like, oh yeah, one day they open up this can of worms and say no fighting. But it's been like, you know, slowly being phased out from the junior levels already. They're minimizing the fighting majors. I mean, you know, the max fighting major in the NHL is probably Delorier with 11 fights or something like that. So it's been a process, but I don't know. I guess maybe I'm still hanging on to the old mentality a little bit, like the essence of like the hockey game.
Hey, you got excited. Hey, listen, Cam, you got excited when Flower came flying down to see your boy better. Yes. Come on. Like,
I didn't say, you're damn right I do. I still love it. I want him to go. Jakey Neighbors, I could give this little kid a shout out. Just turned 21 years old. He's a young kid playing for St. Louis. He actually had an exchange in a fight last night. You know what I mean? Like, they actually were trading punches, and the crowd went nuts. I love that. I do. But, like, I just think that it's just going to get weeded out, and you just have to accept it. And I think if it hits, if you can't knock anybody over anymore with hits, then the game's really going to change. But if there's no fighting, and if you do fight, maybe it's a bigger penalty. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know if that's going to, at this point, I don't know if that's going to turn off a ton of people. We'll chirp about it and stuff like that, but I think people are still going to go. But again,
totally.
You go 12 years ago when we were doing our thing and everybody was like, I can't wait. What's happened? Oh, Kotan Jansen. Oh, let's do it. What are they doing? Then if you're like, nope, they can't do it anymore, but they would go psycho.
Yeah, 100%. There have been protests back in the day. But yeah, I mean, it's been 12, 13, 15, you know, 20 years, you know, has passed. And again, the game has evolved so much. The skill is through the roof. And yeah, I think people have almost forgotten about the old school hockey, honestly. So yeah, it's like guys, out of sight, out of mind. They forget.
Dude, I do the radio, man, and you talk to these kids and stuff like that. You do all this stuff. You hear people's take on everything, and you know who the old school guys are. Then you know the next generation, but then you know this like new generation of hockey fans. Like, I'll give you an example. Like, my little producer, young kid on my podcast. Like, he knew me because he was from here and I was loud, but like he doesn't know any heavy. Like, he just doesn't. He didn't grow up watching that and the fighting stuff. Like, he's just like, oh, we'll have some of these old school tough guys on. And he'll be like, who's this again? I'm like, okay. So he's past that point.
Yeah.
And I was telling you, it's a new generation.
Totally.
But I think they still like the game. Look, in St. Louis, we have the Battle Hawks, which is a XFL team. We've had the Rams. We've had the Cardinals football. We've seen it all. Now we have a Major League Soccer team. You got the Blues. The Cardinals are the biggest big dick going. They are gigantic here. But when people go and watch hockey games still, whether there's fighting or not, like, it's still different than everything else.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I went to Cardinals games. I'm like, what's going on, Dad? Like, oh, the arch is cool. Oh, cool, people. Oh, what happened? Oh, yeah. But when he took me to the Blues games, he took me up, and I saw Twister and Chaser and Brett Hall, and they were unbelievable. They're doing cool things like Twister's taking off all shit, like Chaser's chirping guys, like walking around, spinning his stick around, like bumping. I'm like, what the, like, what the fuck is that? That's the coolest thing in the world. And so, like, so, but even if you take that part out, like watching Holly score and watching how the speed of the game, it's always going to attract the youth because how unique it is and how fast it is. And he still hit guys. But
yeah,
I do miss like the old school shit, man. I'm not going to lie. I'm not an old, like, yelling at, I miss old school. But like I find myself, if NHL Network has like an old school OHL game on or a W Memorial Cup game from like 2003 or something, or like a game from 96 playoff game, like I'm watching that, dude. If it's a game from 2000, I don't know, 17, it's just, I don't know. I like the old school stuff, man. I do, except for the hooking and clutching in the 90s.
Yeah, that was aggressive for sure. Well, let me ask you this. You talk about like Jacob Trouba, just say for argument's sake, they take fighting out of the NHL and then, you know, Trouba blows a guy up. Like how does this play out? Like, is it just like special teams and we're just going to like just deal with it and go back to cage rage and, you know, like,
well, how's it playing out now?
Well, I mean,
is anybody really
guys do step in? I mean, there's no heavies, obviously, besides maybe, you know, a handful in across the league, but at least like a guy pretends to show up, like, you know, like, yeah, they're not chucking from downtown. But, yeah,
I know. I'm going to miss that part. Like that's going to be we're going to look at that like, eh, but like what happens now? Like, it's not like you're tapping on his door and throwing them left bombs on him. And like knowing that I'm going to get you and my coach is going to put me out every two and I'm going to find you. And if you don't want to go me, I'm going to catch you with your head down. Like, you're going to be hard to deal with. And the refs are going to be like, no, like, you'll probably let you do extra things because they let me do extra things because we were nice to them. And we didn't go overboard with crazy, crazy stuff once in a while. But like, they'll let us get away with some stuff like that all worked out. But now it's like, I don't know. You got to find a way to hit them back.
Yeah, I guess. Right. Down. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. You know?
I know it's kind of sucks, man, but
yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah. Well, I know it's not just being biased because we played the role, but I'm just thinking like, you know, the essence of it, like, yes, the heavyweights are gone, but like, there's still guys that care and are passionate and that are pissed off. Like, yes, the fight don't look as good and doesn't look as like aggressive, but like, at least like at least you can still answer the bell, you know, but, you know, I play both sides of it. I get it. I mean, I get where it's going.
It's still better than like, you know, like guys get chopped and we got that MLS team. I'm like kind of watching, you know, like they just go down, like still hockey still has like a cool style to it. Like, again, you understand, like I'm from the middle of the United States of America. I'm from like 50 miles outside of St. Louis, Missouri. I have to take in consideration how other people watch other sports here. It's not just Canada hockey, everything. It's not like you got to be unique and different to get everybody's attention. There's a lot going on, you know? So hockey still like provides that, man. Like, I was never that big of a sports fan. Like, I was obsessed with my own career and what I'm doing. So I never really got into that much stuff. But now that I have to, doing a damn radio show every day in this town, where like I keep comparing it and I talk to people and I listen to people, it still, as a whole, has a really cool thing going. Just does.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. No, I agree. People argue this one for forever. Yeah, I think, you know, you got the old guard versus the new, and it's always this balance of, you know, do we need it? Really need it? You know, we love the skill and I appreciate it all, but you know, the essence of hockey has always been rooted in like, you know, the extra dimensions that, that proved to be like powerful, respect. Right? Their own, respect, like, man. It's just like
accountability, like what, like sticking up for each other, like, whoa, not like in baseball. Like sometimes I'm gonna throw a pitch at you, and then we're all gonna go, like, I'm gonna come out, like, I got you, like, you escape out of the bench, like, I'll get all you. What are you gonna do? Like, you're so, but we're the last ones to do that.
Yeah.
So don't you feel like we're kind of like in a selfish way, and we have podcasts and stuff, like, we're always mentioned, people always wanna hear our story about how it was because we were the last kind of ones to do it. You know what I mean? Like, because it faded quick. It faded what? In 2000, I don't know, 760? It just faded. Like, fast. Faded,
yeah. Real fast. Guys.
So we'll always be remembered in a selfish way, if you want to be selfish about it. So whatever, you know?
Yep.
No, it's true. It's true. It's a lot different. It's funny because Cam, you probably know, like, the equipment guys always love the tough guys. Right? And we always love to fight the guys that are not going to be fighting. Yeah. We love the fights, but don't want to be in one. But I would miss it from the game. Like Riley said, just, I know it's not like it was, but I think sometimes I feel like some of the accountability would go away for some of these players that are kind of rats and, you know, would get away with things, but it is what it is. I guess we'll see. I don't really care that the Q's not having it.
Yeah.
But I definitely don't want it to leak to this. And I did want to bring up one thing. I saw you played in the North American Hockey League there in St. Louis. I came out of retirement and I'm working for the Philadelphia Rebels here. This is the first year. And I saw you had 244 PIMs. I know it's a different time. I get it, but I don't think we have 244 PIMs combined.
Yeah,
like not. Right. I don't mean fighting.
Well, so, that year was goofy, man. Like it was great for me because I was playing at home. I was just a kid. Like I was 15, 16 years old. I think my dad had to drive me to practice, and we had Rick Zombo was coaching, and he got fired, which sucked. Ricky Zombo is the coolest. He's coaching Lindenwood University, D1. They're going up and giving everybody a competitive game. They're big. They're tough. He's such an awesome, smart man. Comes on my radio show every Thursday. We shoot the shit. He's so cool. He got fired right before I made that team. And we went through a carousel of coaches. And I was their fucking heavyweight. And my buddies would come to the games. They would skip school. They gave me like a pager. I would miss like four classes a day, and it was all excused. No one in St. Louis understood what the hell I was doing except for my buddies. And they would leave school and follow me, and I'd go play these games, and I'd had a bandana on. I'm wearing a cage. I'm honestly a child. And I'm going – it's all on YouTube. I'm going buckets off, spinning my bucket, fighting 28-year-old guys. And like no one's like, Cam, go play. Cam, just play the game. Learn how to get the puck off the wall. Learn the game. Your dad didn't play. Your mom there. You're the first generation player in your family. Learn the goddamn game. No, no. I'm buckets off every goddamn night like a psychopath. And then I got drafted to the OHL, and they taught me things. And I put it all kind of together, and it worked out, and you get noticed. But that year was so crazy. But if Rick Zombo was there, he would have – I know. What if Riley, you got 50 of those two. I get that.
Yeah.
But I just feel like he just sort of been like, hey, psycho, calm down, learn how to do shit instead of going buckets off.
I want to see the bandana. I like that bandana too, man.
Go on YouTube and look up my fights. I take my jersey off in front of my high school friends are there. It's, I know.
Instant legend, hey? Instant legend for sure.
I wish I would have known that.
Nasty Knuckles listeners, it's time to get your real estate in top form. You need DLI Commercial to help you on your next construction project. These experts know how to take your project from the penalty box to all-star caliber. From complete buildouts to major renovations, they've got you covered. Let DLI Commercial help you make your next construction project a real power play. For more deets, you need to head on over to their website, DLICommercial.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com.
Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Well, then so you come good. Back to St. Louis and play in the NHL. I mean, talk about that, because that must have been surreal.
I had two different lives, man. I had my hang out with the boys, being a guy, funny, da-da-da, you know, deal. And then I got the pressure. I grew up there. I went to high school there. I know everybody. I bought the house next to my parents when Lou and the Devil signed me when I was 18 years old. They knew my mom and dad didn't have any money. They knew I needed money to work out. So they signed me for a couple hundred grand right when I turned 18, right when I got drafted, they signed me because they knew I had to have money to work out. Otherwise, what am I going to do? Go get a job? No, like it doesn't work. Like, so he signed me right away. I spent that goddamn money. Oh, God. All my buddies. Never had money in my life. Taking the boys out every night. Still did all my workout stuff. But, oh, my. I went by so fast. But, yeah. Having that and kind of figuring it out, but getting traded to the Blues and dealing with being at home, being next to my parents, buying that house when I was 18. So everybody knew where I grew up. Everybody came over to my house. You had like, I wanted to entertain everybody, man. Like I'm showing off to maybe all the girls that, you know, my wife's here, all the girls that didn't, you know you in high school. Well, now they know you.
Yeah.
Now you're doing shit. And, you know, in your own little world, like you're like the guy. And so that it was fun for a while, but then to balance that, there was just a lot going on, man. You're getting pulled in 50,000 directions. I want to please everybody. I was a yes man. You got people ripping you off, maybe coming, hey, I want to get a new electronic system for my house. Have some guy come in. He just does everything. I don't care. Take, you know, that just little lessons that you learn. And it got a little too much. And then maybe I lost focus here and there. And I was going through different things with, God, you know, drugs and partying and trying to balance working out and girls and just, you know, it was just too much. But then you go back to the Devils. And now you're back. They're like, oh, what's up? Okay, let's go. What do we got? Like, what do I need? So it's just like two different worlds, man. I don't know.
I can imagine, man. Yeah.
I had some couple of guys that worked with me and worked with the Devils and some of my friends, obviously, over the years. I got to know them. And Luke runs a tight ship there, obviously.
You got
any good Lou stories? We've had a few. he seemed to really like you, right? Because like he did that favor for, I don't want to say favor, but I guess kind of a favor, signed you at 18. And then, after you were in St. Louis, he brought you back and you could tell like he really liked you and the way you played the game. But do you have any good Lou stories?
Well, there's a lot, and I don't want him to like, I went on Chicklets one time and told a story and he actually, God, suck.
He was mad.
I don't even work for him and I'm doing all right, you know, and he knows, but like, he's always still on my mind.
Like, yeah.
And if I wouldn't have got drafted by the Devils, now they had Marcel Pronovost in Windsor, right? Marcel Pronovost, legend, and he was the Devil scout in Windsor. So he was right there. So he watched every one of my games in Windsor. And it, you know how it is, Riley. We're just putting on a show. And he's like, probably telling Lou, hey, you got this kid. You'll love him. He was nice to everybody. But he's a little crazy. Just control him. And he's going to be okay. And that was like my conduit to Lou to start off. So Lou did do me favors, man. Signed me right away. It worked. Like, I was ready to go. I was ready to fight guys at 20 years old and lead the league and do all that. I probably would have got called up that year as a young kid. The first year during that lockout. But, you know, I was wild, man. Like, he knew a lot of things, but he did and he didn't. Like, he would torture me at times. Not I don't want to use that word because I know it always gets back. He was good with me, and I needed it so bad. If the Blues at the time would have drafted me and I would have went right there, I would have been a fucking disaster. But going to that organization, being wild, you know, confident, wild, whatever, just full of piss and vinegar. Like I was able to be so, I never wanted to let him down. My mom and dad loved him so much. Like they knew that I needed that, you know, and this, I'm just a fourth round, whatever. But in my little bubble, like that was such a big deal to be under his realm. Like it truly was. Right. And he'd keep an eye on me. Oh, yeah. And I'd mess up here and there. And he'd call me in the office. in front of all the guys when I'm young. And they'd be like, oh, I'm like, oh, God. Yeah. He's like, I know what you did last night. And I'm like, oh, like, what is it? Like, what did I do? I was hanging out with older guys too, you know. And he'd do this kind of stuff with me. And I'd go out there and I'd always be on time. I was always the first one there. I wanted him to see me in the locker room. I don't give a shit if I slept that night. And I had to go change clothes and look like I didn't have my fucking suit on. And come in that locker room, and I'll be the first one there. Tape my stick. Hey, how are you? Coffee. Like, oh, yeah. Hey, screw that. All you young kids out there, or you dads out there, you tell your kid, find a way to get him disciplined, to be the first guy there. Everybody sees you get shit done. You can get in a hot tub before everybody. You get your training stuff, Riley, before anybody else gets there, before the big dick gets there, and he's on the table for 35 minutes. You get there first. They'll work on you. I'm telling you, being disciplined like that got me through a lot of shit, but he was always watching. And I love the man. He called, my mom died in December, and he called me and talked. It's all good. He called me and talked to me and always does that stuff. He brought me back. He just was good, man. Like, he was good. Yeah. He truly was.
Yeah, man. Yeah, here, well, he's loyal to you.
So many people say that, guys that played for him. It's just, I find it funny, some of the, like, some of his rules, I should say, and you're like, what the fuck does that matter if that is this way? But then you look at his track record, and he's won, and he wins, and he's been very successful, and a lot of respect for the man. I just always chuckle at some of the stories, because I remember what kid that worked for me went there. We had won the Calder Cup. This is way back 96, 90, 97, 98, sorry. And then the next year, my buddy Lou went to work there, and he's filling water bottles up, and the Phantoms are playing Albany in Continental Airlines. And then later that night, the Flyers are playing the Devils. But anyway, he's filling water bottles up, and I'm like, I haven't seen Lou in a couple months. And I'm like, hey, buddy. And he's like, I'll talk to you in a minute. Not even looking at me, filling the water bottles up. And I'm like, what? And he goes, just give me a minute. And he wouldn't even look at me. I went, are you okay? And he goes, Lou's over there. He's watching me. And I'm like,
I know.
Well, you can't say hi to me. Like,
yeah, right. Nope. You're working.
They wouldn't say his name. They would always go like, they would go, yes, because oh, I know. Like, it's like Mr. Deeds is butler. Hey, you're underestimating my sneakiness.
Yeah, right.
You know, like, they turn around and he'd be there. You know,
I told you, I feel his presence now. He's listening to us right now. Like, yeah, he truly is. And if I'm him, I think I would be that way. Not that full extent, but I would. I want to know what's going on. If I'm running the show, I want to know what's going on with everybody. I want everybody on the same page. I don't want this guy to be too high. I want everything balanced out a little bit. You're on my time now. I'm in control. This is what I want. I like that. Now, if you're an older guy making $10 million like Kobe or whatever, like, he's probably like, fuck, Kobe was awesome, by the way. Kovalchuk.
Yeah, right.
Loved him. Sure. Such a good dude. Oh, God. But again, I love Jersey, man. The people in Jersey are hardcore. Again, I always had buddies. Like, I always found, but I'm such a social butterfly, man. Even if I play for that, I met people everywhere. And Kate and I go up to Jersey, like, we know people. Like, I love that. But you don't want to be that, you know, like, I'm hanging out with my buddies, and then the guys are doing their thing. Like, there's a balance to everything when it comes to that, too. But, but Lou was fun, man. Like, Lou was good to deal with, and it worked for me. I should say he's fun. But he's good to deal with. The boys were fun, is what I meant to say. And Jersey was fun. And I love going out there and hanging with the guys, man. I truly do. They were fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. But you do got to, you know, give the guy some props on, like, his approach to discipline. Like, as everything you're saying, like you're a wild guy. And if you went to any other situation, you might not have that structure and that discipline to really kind of get you to that next level.
It lasted as long as you have
come back around. And, like, obviously you were loyal to them. He was loyal to you. And some of his things may be a little quirky, but, like, he does know how to obviously create a professional ship there that guys, you know, buy into, obviously. So I can appreciate, you know, where you're coming from. Like you said, if you'd gone to St. Louis, it might have been a nightmare. You know, as cool as it would have been.
I would have been hanging out with Keith Kachuk, and that's 30 pounds overweight. I got to hang out with him journey. When I was a little bit more mature, and we had a good time together.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's great. That's great. Well, over the years, like who would you say, maybe you don't have just one, but who is your favorite coach or coaches?
Oh, well, there's a couple, you know, growing up in St. Louis, like I kind of, like everything was kind of, in the early 90s, hockey in St. Louis was, we had the rinks, but it just wasn't a tight knit like it is now. So it was kind of like, so I had a couple good coaches, a couple bad coaches growing up. Don Morehouse was a great discipline coach. He knew that I was, again, you know, the loud guy on the team. I was scoring. I was doing that in AAA. Like, he helped me. I would say the first coach that really got to me was Robbie Fatorik during the 04 lockout. He was so awesome. And he knew I was wild. And he'd call me out in front of everybody. And I'd be like, what? He's like, well, what are you doing this? I'm like, I got you. Watch me next time. Like, that kind of stuff. Right? Like, instead of being like, well, no. I'm like, okay, Robbie, watch. Like, I had an awesome, like, connection with him with that. In practice, maybe he'd yell at me, get me. So if my energy was going, then everybody else is kind of going. Like, he knew how to do that. And you know what else he did? And you'd appreciate this, Coach. Like, a couple times, I'm fighting everybody. I'm a kid. Still young, man. Like,
yeah.
And Brandon Sugden wanted me bad. And I already fought that night. And Robbie goes, no, you're not going home. And Suggy Sugar was knocking cats out.
Oh, you know, yeah,
like, he was knocking cats out. And he was smart. And he wasn't like big. And he's not just going to ragdoll me. I'm going to make a mistake. And he's going to catch me with that really quick right. Like, he's knew how to get a balance and get you. And Robbie didn't let me fight him. And I'm like, he's like, shut the fuck up. Sit down. No, you're not. And I think, like, little things like that. He also did that with Colton Orr. Fought somebody else that night, and Orzy wanted me. And Orzy was knocking guys out. And he didn't – and maybe my hand was messed up or something. Like, little things like that, he protected me. And I don't know. Like, I was going everybody wild, but there's a couple times where I was in a weird spot where maybe I was hurt or something, and he just – he would protect me. And I just thought that was so cool.
Yeah, that's powerful.
Little things
that's
like that, man, sit in the back of your head, dude. You're like, okay.
Yeah, so, well, that's powerful because he knows how much of a gamer you are, and you would have probably fought those guys if he hadn't said that, just because, you know, the pride and, you know, the street cred and all the stuff you're trying to provide. But have a coach like that have your back. Is powerful, right?
Yeah, it's
showing that he really cares about you, right? Because it's easy to just go, like, you know, go out there and, you know, do your thing. But,
well, it was also, like, he knew I was getting called up a week later, and I didn't know.
Okay. Right.
So he, because I did, and he's like, "No, don't sit and bitching like a young kid." He's like, "Shut the fuck up and sit down." I'm like, all right, damn. And now you know. Now you know.
So yeah,
that is awesome.
I love
that's
stuff,
really
dude.
Cool. Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, appreciate
that's
really that. Cool. No doubt.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you, I mean, you're in the media now, and we kind of go heavy on the Flyers a little bit, as you've been following, and, you know, like, you know, shit's hit the fan here. There's been obviously some changes. What are your opinions on the Flyers' current state of affairs, Danny B, and the direction moving forward?
Oh, look, if you want me to break down the Philadelphia Flyers, of all the guys you get on your podcast, like, I'm going to disappoint you beyond belief. Now, as an over, like, okay, like, think about that. You guys have been watching every damn day of what's going on. So if I'm going to act like I know what my opinion would be on it, I'm just lying to the people, and I'm not going to do that. The poor Danny – I like Danny Breer. We've had him on. Nicest guy in the world.
Yeah.
Will he be okay? I smart dude. Like, I think he's confident. Like, you look at him, he's just very soft-spoken. But he's like, you know what? I played a lot of games. I've done a lot of things. No, I'm going to be in charge. Now, his son's situation is kind of goofy. I feel bad for him on that.
Yeah, it was tough.
It's not that big of a deal. Don't get me wrong. But it's still an obstacle that you have to deal with. You know what I mean? But you guys are in a weird spot, man. Like, you are. Like, it's been bad for a little while now. I think, and not to chirp too much, because, I don't know, so now I have to be kind of witty and funny. Gritty is still your number one player, I think, as a whole. I know you're probably like, yeah, it's funny. But he's awesome, by the way. Just let him do his thing. If he gets a shit, it's funny. But you got to do something. And the people in Philly are getting pissed, and they're spending goddamn money, and they want something, and it's been too long. If this happens with the Blues – what's been going on for long with the Flyers, There's going to be problems in St. Louis. There's going to be sponsor problems. There's going to be attendance problems. And it's going to be a trickle-down effect. And the fucking city has problems. You know why? Because you go watch the city soccer team fuck play. You want to watch this. You want to watch that. You have options. So you got to get – things need to happen, and they need to happen quick because the people there are getting pissed. What's the attendance like? I know they're diehard, but is attendance okay?
It's like, not it's nearly not where it usually is.
Every day's negative. So now you think of this brand, all the players playing on that team. When you think of this team, it's always you're in that negative spell. Like throughout history, you're always going to remember it as a that shit team. You got to figure this thing out, and you got to do it quick. What do you guys think the problem is? What is their next step? Shit, you might get a good player coming out of this draft. You better draft well.
Well, yeah, you got to draft well, and I don't know how quickly this is going to happen. It could depend on how lucky they get with the lottery ball.
Yeah, right.
That'd
be something.
But Danny's got his – he's been left with a lot to deal with, and I have confidence in him. I'm hoping that interim tag comes off sooner than later. But he's got some work to do, and I don't know how quickly it's going to be able to happen. But
well, it's not an easy fix. It's definitely not. Isn't. I mean, you said it's been a few years coming, and you said the only starting point is draft well, right? Start there. You have to draft well, and these guys have to play and be players. If you can get lucky with, you know, a lottery, that would be some gravy. And you know, obviously, you could build your whole franchise around that. But you know, outside of that, you
where
have
you
to
rank
you have
right
to,
now. Where's where are the Phillies at or Flyers at right now?
It's funny because they're 5-0-1 in their last six games.
The Flyers the Blues are doing the same thing.
Since Danny B's
they've
been
tripled
there,
the wrong way. It was funny. We were talking about earlier that we read on one of our social media sites that it had the Flyers winning, and someone said, they got to lose. We got to start losing.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to try to lose, you know?
Well, I mean, the worst thing to be is kind of bad. That's the worst position.
Bad. Yeah, right.
Kind of
yeah.
bad. Meaning you're not making the playoffs and you don't get – and you're just like, oh, I'm gonna go on a winning spree here. Well, no. Be competitive. Yeah. Make sure the youth are, you know, growing – the right way in a positive way, because if you keep losing games and the young kids are out there, you get used to losing.
Right.
And you're like, oh, you lost again. Like, you know, when you play on a winning team, like if you lose, everybody's like, whoa, what the fuck? What are we doing?
Yep.
Or you're on a losing team and where are we going tonight? You know,
accept
the difference.
Oh yeah.
What happened? Whatever. So there's a big difference with that. You never want to have your young kids at trying to develop, and they have that losing fucking attitude that sucks. But as fans and as in the media now, if we call ourselves media, we're entertainers, is what we are. Like maybe you guys, I'm an entertainer. That's all I want to be. Call me a clown. I don't give a shit. Don't take me seriously. Entertainer. But on the other hand, man, like you're gonna have to figure something out. You're gonna have to balance it by being competitive, but you also don't want to kind of almost get there and not get there and lose out on a monster pick that could change.
Oh, no kidding. Right.
Hey, do you want Connor Bedard to go to Arizona?
Absolutely.
Like, where do you want that kid to go?
Hang on 1 second. Could you imagine this 18-year-old right there at ASU?
Oh yeah. I know, right.
That'd
be embarrassing.
Yeah.
Embarrassing.
Nope. But he would have fun walking around campus.
Yeah, right. You'd be
You'll have fun walking around anywhere, kid. And you know what? You could do anything he wants. He might be the most popular kid in the NHL right now. That kid is super popular. It's unbelievable.
Yep.
But if he goes to Arizona, like I love Clayton Keller, St. Louis kid. Like, what are they doing down there? Like, would that be good? Would that speed up the process to make that organization relevant? Like, I don't know. I like Bill Armstrong. He was awesome to me in St. Louis. He's got his hands full, but he's also in a spot where he didn't create it, so he's okay. Yeah. He's got some time to figure shit out. But where do you want that superstar to go? Like, where would you want him to go? What would be a good fit? You'd think Chicago Blackhawks, after some shit they went down. I do like Joel Quenneville. The shit that went down there was kind of weird. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, all that stuff. Do they deserve the monster after having all those other guys winning 3 Stanley Cups? What do you guys think?
What about Montreal? That seems like I don't know where they are, but I'm just thinking the league, you know, I'm not saying it's rigged.
They're going to be okay anyway, though. Like Montreal's always going to be steady.
Right.
So don't you want them to go to, what about Anaheim with Zegras and Terry?
Yeah, right.
And they build that up. Yeah. That'd be a nice, if you make that pimping, rocking and rolling, this is a stud, handsome kid in Anaheim. Yeah. You build that up. I'm just speaking for the greater good of the game. I don't know.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah. I'm just wondering what the league, how much the league has to do with it. You know,
I know.
Like, we don't see
the Bettman one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly, right? It's a good question.
That's what he wants. That's what I think he wants. Up.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, it'll be interesting how it all plays out. Obviously, you know, all the Flyer fans are, you know, crossing their fingers. You know, a big market. I mean, it's, you know,
be good.
The organization could use some help since, you know, they have such, you know, distinguished roots and, you know, a legitimate fan base and all that. But, you know, that's just probably a biased opinion. But we'll see how it plays out. Danny B's got his hands full. I mean, he come into a mess. You know, I guess it is that, you know, to some degree. So. Time will tell, but I think starting with drafting, you just see whether you get him or not. You have to nail your picks, as you know.
You
these guys got to play. You got to figure it out. Yeah, so we will see how that plays out. I know other teams are in the same type of predicament, so it's not, you know, it's not exclusive to the Flyers. But time will tell. Draft, starting with the draft and building from there. But before we let you go, Cam, I know you got a lot of stuff going on, but you, as Nasty mentioned at the start, you got your own show. Why don't you plug that a little bit and where people can find you and you know, some social media and all that.
Well, the radio show, like, people in Philly probably want to listen to their hometown stuff, you know. So like, you know, I host a three hour radio show every morning, Monday through Friday. I love it. I gotta get up at like 4:15, get and learn about not just Blues or Cardinals. Like, I got to learn what's going on in the city. What's up with this different thing? Was there a tornado that happened? I'm interested in all that kind of shit. So, like, I'm not just, like, hockey. I'm interested in all kinds of stuff, man. Like, I'm, like, curious as hell. So I do that. But the podcast, man, we always get guys on, Andy Strickland and I, we like to get guys on there just maybe no one's talked to. So we've got, like, Cody Hodgins played for Nashville. And, like, okay, who's that? Well, he's a 10th overall pick. He was in Vancouver. They treated him like shit. And they're like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm hurt. There's this weird thing he had with his spine. They didn't know what the hell was going on. He had to retire early. Signed a monster ticket in Buffalo. The nicest kid in the world. But, like, all this drama happened with him. And, you know, he had to, like, tell a story. Like, I had this horrible thing that went on. It's a weird distant process. Some disease he had in his back. So we love to get guys like that on. We also like to get guys that are, like, you know, addicted, like, it went through shit. Yeah. But it's always good to get some of the old school 90s dudes on, you know.
Yeah,
they're just like, it's just a different, they're just like, what's up? They don't give a shit anymore. Yeah, like, right. The guys that aren't associated with anybody,
yeah,
so they're like, exactly. Whoa, they're like, no, dude, this happened. I don't care. Yeah. I'll tell you, you know, with some of those old school GMs that aren't working anymore, they're like, no, wait, I went through hell with this story, here's the real story on it. Blah blah blah. So right. Andy does a good job of picking out who we need and stuff like that. But we do have a good gig, man, to be able to reconnect like this, dude.
Yeah,
to shit like this for all the. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Fun.
Your hair looks good too, by the way. You look good, man. You look young, dude. Coach,
are you talking to me?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, you look young.
Yeah, thanks, man. Well, I'm not destroying myself anymore, Cam, as you know.
I know. I was going to say,
I take care of myself. Yeah.
I don't have anything to compare you to. But you, Coach, I know. Great.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, well, you got to give Nasty some credit, too.
He looks great, too. Thanks, Cam. It's so funny, like, how many times I've seen this man, you know, in my life and passed him, walked by him in the locker room, but, you know, equipment pigeons, you're not going to notice the other team's equipment guy. Like, why would you?
I remember all you guys, but I don't, like, I just,
man, yeah, I know. I get
shit it. It down.
Oh, no shit. Yeah.
Like, I, but yeah, man, no, I was always good to all you guys, and you always hooked me up with beer and stuff like that. I just always took care of it. I love it, man.
It's one thing.
But I'm glad you guys are doing well.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and we appreciate you hopping on, man. It's good to see you and reconnect, you know, wish you the best with your show and your radio show and all the stuff you're into. I know you got a lot of stuff going on, and yeah, man. Anything we can do to help you out, let us know.
Yeah,
Well, I want you to come on the pod.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's do it. 2.0.
Train a little bit. Yeah. Just do it, exactly, man. All right. Let me know, guys.
All right. Thanks, Cam. Appreciate you, bro. On,
big thank you to our boy, Cam Jansen. What a beauty.
Yes, just an absolute beauty. I love his enthusiasm. Man. Oh, yeah. He didn't like fighting.
He hated it, but geez. He was one of those guys, man, that when I knew we were playing him, it was I knew he was a gamer, but it's just like, I just know how he is and how intense he was. And just the charade of warm-ups and just everything was just like about the show. But what an amazing career, man. This guy did a hell of a job for himself. I mean, undersized guy that was strong as hell and had endurance like nothing I've ever seen before.
He was like Bolton, kind of. He wanted those fights to go.
Oh, yeah. Like, he tired guys out the first 30 seconds, 45 seconds even. And just
we mentioned it, but I saw a few good fights in the past week, actually, on hockeyfights.com. Like, they were long, and he's talked about that as well. Stay out. Wow.
Yeah.
But great guy. Yeah. Thanks for having him. Yeah. Thanks for him coming on. And his show does a really good job as well.
Yeah. So, he does a hell of a job. He's a good personality, good character. Yeah. So I'm not surprised he's having success there. So wish him the best. Appreciate Cam hopping on. And I think it's time, Nast.
Is it time for Clear Questions?
It is.
Brought to you by Clear Rum.
Oh, yeah.
Let's check out clearrum.com. We're missing a couple. Riles was just...
You're sipping. Always sipping there, Nast.
They're good. What do you want me to do?
Got to reload.
Tastes like that. I know.
Boys, if you're listening, need a reload.
Boys, send it in. They're good. But let's get to the clear questions.
All right, baller.
Brooke Sylvester over on Instagram, she wants to know, who are your favorite NHL players that you look up to? Could be retired or still playing.
Sly asked that. Sly. That's her nickname.
Sly Stallone. Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
NHL player.
I'll start. You got the moose on the wall. Mark Messier was, a guy I looked up to growing up. I wore number 11 because of him, and then landed up wearing number 11 because of Scott Arneal, who was a Winnipeg Jet. Another guy who never thought I'd be a fighter was Ty Domi. You know, he was a guy that just like played for the Winnipeg Jets and just loved what he represented and the passion. It was another guy I looked up to. And then, Wayne Gretzky was always on the map. But I think like Mark Messier was kind of like my guy growing up. Once I turned pro, I'm not really sure I had a guy that I was, totally looking up to. I was definitely looking at fighters,
right?
Because I was trying to be one. So I kind of like lost track of playing hockey and just kind of got swallowed up in that. And, started studying Bob Probert and some of these guys, and those guys definitely came on the map. But Mark Messier, I would say, was probably the guy growing up as far as the overall package.
Right.
The way you nasty.
Yeah. Well, for me, it's a little different. I didn't grow up, I grew up around hockey, but not playing it like you. So my people I looked up to were basketball because I was so much into basketball. But I always liked the fighters.
Mm-hmm.
So I loved Craig Berube. I loved Chief as a kid. And then once I got into hockey, seeing guys like Mark Messier and the way they were and the way they handle themselves and true captains like that and Steve Yzerman.
Mm-hmm.
Was a big fan of him. Those are a couple of guys, so I got to say Moose and Steve Yzerman and even Clarkie, because I was a kid, and I watched him and how he treated everyone around and guys like that.
Yep. Yeah, I actually respect Mark Messier more now than I did growing up, just knowing him a little bit and seeing what he represents and kind of seeing where his leadership qualities came from. It's pretty powerful stuff.
Yeah,
so, the way he played was one thing, but, you mentioned how professional and how he carried himself off the ice. I mean, this guy is legitimate professional.
Yes,
so.
100%.
Nast, I was hoping you were going to mention our buddy Richie.
Well, I mean, I loved Richie, but I'm older than him, so it was not by much. Obviously, one of my favorite players, Richie. It's not even close. You guys know that, but I was just trying to think of when I was a little younger, watching those guys.
But I know he was one of your favorites. That's why I mentioned it. But team president.
Team president, you're right. He did message us, and he wants his name thrown in that hat, Danny B. Just so you know. The Rick Bone is interested in being the president.
Yeah.
of the Philadelphia Flyers.
Let's tee up an interview.
Let's do it. He's good. He's on his boat right now in Florida, but he's checking Twitter every hour.
He'll tune into his Starlink, bring out his Zoom, and we can do it right from the boat.
That's right, right from the boat.
Anthony Giampaolo over on Twitter, he wants to know, what does the travel process look like for the equipment team as compared to the players?
Well, you guys just show up and jump on a bird and eat. Like,
privileged.
Yeah, no, it is. For the equipment, you're always preparing the day before, basically, for the next day. It's kind of like what you do every day. Everything you do the day before is for the next day.
Yeah.
So if we were flying out, say, today, we had two sets of equipment. Most teams do now, unless they're in one building all the time, like Detroit, Columbus. They have their practice facilities connected. But all the game gear would be packed, so all we had to do was take the trunks and then skates and goalies to the plane. The other gear would go from the center there. But for you guys, it was basically
hop on the plane
and go. So either way, both were super spoiled, you know, being able to travel like that, no lines, big first class seats and nice meals and all that stuff. Didn't take that for granted. That's for you do remember it when you get on a plane now, though.
Yeah, right.
Unless we're on Debo's private jet,
GMO peanuts.
Yeah, yeah. Want some cashews or pretzels?
Yeah.
Let me see.
But I do gotta say, for the listeners that really don't understand how much work goes into your job, it's insane. The amount of hours and the prep, and how many details? I mean, because everything's got to go. You got to have everything, and there's so much prep involved. And then on the back end, too, that's on like the front end, you know,
right.
the late nights, getting back at the crack of dawn and having unpacked bags and set stuff up for the next day.
Yeah. It's funny. It's just, I always just felt like that's the one thing about doing the job is you're always preparing for the next day, you know. Mm-hmm. But, it's fun. It's a lot of work. Nowadays, it's nicer because you have more help.
Right.
But it's a lot of hours.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work. Those guys that do that job, still doing it, do a really good job.
Yeah. Well, props to you guys.
Yeah, man.
Keep the machine well-oiled, for sure.
Yeah, you have to. You have to.
We got one more from Mike A. over on Twitter. He said, do players have sponsorship contracts with equipment companies saying that they can only wear that company's gear, or can they wear whatever they want?
Well, you can wear whatever you want, but you also, if you do sign a deal, you wear, but you wear that company. There's guys where you'll say, I'm a head-to-toe Bauer guy, which means skates, pants, gloves, helmet, stick. Like Provy was a head-to-toe guy with Bauer.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's in CCM Skates, so he gets a deal for skates. You know, I'm not saying it's some huge lucrative like money deal, but you still get a deal, and he still gets a deal for wearing Bauer pants, gloves, right. Stuff like that. So I always kidded around with Coots, called him a gear whore because he wore something different. He wore a CCM
getting
helmet,
paid from every company.
Warrior gloves, Bauer skate, or Bauer skates, Bauer stick, or he'd switch it around. But that seems to be the way to go,
right?
if you can do that, because you get something from everyone. Because the companies aren't throwing out those huge deals like they used to.
Yeah.
Only in really big markets like Montreal and Toronto, you'll see like guys get 30 grand for wearing gloves. Like it's
just
stupid.
For gloves, hey.
Well, like a few years back, I don't know where it is now, but or stick and glove.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I'm sure Mitch Marner is being paid really well to use a true stick, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
And the gloves, but anyway, that's kind of how it worked.
Yeah,
you had a deal.
I had a deal. Yeah,
CCM.
CCM guy. Mission too. You got me a deal with Mission.
Yeah, that first year you had the helmet.
Rock in the bucket. Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually liked that helmet.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
A lot of guys used to wear that helmet. It's actually when they stopped paying the league deal, they got out. Guys were wearing that helmet for a while. They would just put tape over the Mission logo.
Oh yeah.
But then the rules came in where you're supposed to change your helmet every year.
Oh yeah.
But some, you can tell some guys don't.
Of course. Yeah, if Toby was around, I would have rocked the Toby.
I know
they would have paid me.
I know Toby
probably would have scored a couple more. Who knows,
there'll be some guys in it next year, so we'll see We'll see that coming. Maybe some gloves, too.
Oh, yeah. It's the word on the street.
That's the word. It's the word.
But it would have been a nice little package deal.
That would have been. Can you imagine? You would have been the highest paid guy for sure. Oh,
definitely. Well, I'm glad we're talking about guys like TJ Oshie and some actual snipers rocking the Tovey and not myself, because I would have probably been a poor representation of the blade and technology itself. So.
I don't know, man. You could really see that Diamond Air technology when your blade was on the ice, because you could see through it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the holes.
So. Yeah, that's true. Well, it looks good in men's league.
It does. Seems to work for you.
But we got to get that thing out of men's league into the pros.
Getting in there.
Yeah. Matter of time.
It's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. And that's a wrap. Clear questions in the books.
Yes.
Yep.
Debo, calm down. We're gonna get Cap too, by the way.
I'm getting him.
What was this?
Oh man. Well, that's a wrap. Episode 111 in the books. Appreciate you listeners. Anyone watching, make sure to subscribe, like our content. We'll be pumping out lots more. Big things coming down the pipe. Yes. And that's a wrap. Until next week for episode 112. Stay safe, knuckleheads.
See ya.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.